When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
With our nationwide, critically acclaimed Maximize Your Life tour.
Yes!
You're excited?
I am!
I'm excited, too.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. So, here's the press release ready. In my trademark, no-nonsense style, Michaels uses the live, in-person, interactive show to connect directly with her fans.
This is true. Yeah, you are.
Yeah. This powerful and personal event aims to help you define your goals, harness your potential, and live the life you want. Also true. Mm-hmm. And I do that.
Yes, you do.
I deliver.
Yes, you do.
I don't speak in platitudes. I am the how-to of transformation inside and out.
So?
Well, come.
God, exactly.
Come.
We are coming to a town near you.
Yes, we are. Nationwide. Cities across the country. So to get tickets, information, checkout dates, and cities, just go to www.JillianMichaelsLive.com. I'm somewhat pensive today, Manis.
I noticed that. You have your hair's a little pulled back a little tighter than usual. You just seem a little tense.
No, it's not that I'm tense. I don't know. I think I'm just calm. But I'm sort of like, you know, Oprah turned 60, right? I'm turning 40.
Yes.
And Oprah just turned 60. And so I wanted to, even though she's certainly not a fan of mine, I thought that I would wish her happy birthday because she's Oprah on Twitter, of course. So I was looking for like a quote that I liked, an Oprah quote to sort of put up and just say like, happy birthday, Oprah. And they were all, you know, your usual like, you can do it and, you know, all that sort of inspiring stuff. And then I came across one and it said, one of the hardest things in life is figuring out which bridges to cross and which bridges to burn. Mm. And it took me a second because I knew it meant something to me, right? I was like, no, this is profound. But I couldn't quite figure out. In my head, I had to reconcile exactly what that meant. And I realized it's because I don't yet always know which bridges to cross and which bridges to burn. Think about that concept for a second. It's kind of like, when do you not give up, but surrender? And when do you keep fighting? Yet, at the same time, I would say maybe a week before that, I read this little quote with an inspirational photo, and I put it on my Facebook, and it said, ego says, when everything falls into place, I'll be at peace, which is very much the way I am. And then it said, but spirit says, when you're at peace, everything falls into place. So I've been trying to practice that, right? Just being at peace with the world the way that it is. But that isn't quite how the world works. So here's an interesting example. We will go to a restaurant, and if I get a table that I don't like, mm-hmm. I can't be at peace with it. And everybody's fine with it. I'm not fine with it. Or like I'll go out with a group of friends and we'll all go out for the night and we never go out, right? We it's so rare that we go out and go dancing. It's a whole thing to like line up sitters until, you know, 2 a.m. and how are we going to deal with the kids in the morning? Like for, so if we, you know, when we go out dancing and get all of our friends together and it's like, you know, you want it to be good because it doesn't happen every weekend. And so, for example, we went to this club and like we'd gotten a table and they were great and they treated us great, but like we didn't like the vibe and we hated the music. It was like trance sort of, and like we were all just kind of like, oh, this is okay. And my friends were like, we're together, it's fine, Jill, we're together, it's fine. And I couldn't sit with it, right? It was like, I was like, are you sure you don't want to go? Are you sure we shouldn't go? And everyone's like, no, it's okay, girl, it's fine. And I couldn't be at peace with it. All right. I couldn't. And so then a friend of mine was dating somebody who wasn't a part of our, like, I accept the world sort of a group. And she goes, you know, this place sucks. A friend of mine just opened up a club down the street called No Vacancy. I already called Uber. The car's outside. Let's go. And I was like, excellent. Some, you know, because I feel bad sort of uprooting them and dragging them across town. Of course, we go to No Vacancy. The music was off the hook. It was so much fun. We had the most incredible time. And then I start to question, right? Like, well, when should I be at peace with the way things are, and when should I fight to make a change? Which is almost like, which bridges do you cross and which bridges do you burn? Which things do you pursue and which do you sort of surrender and say, enough of this, it isn't meant to be? Which is, think how tricky that is. So then, like, we went to dinner on New Year's Eve, right? And they sat us, so it's just me and it's just Heidi, and we went to Ojai, and we went to this, like, biker bar. I feel like it's called the Deer Lodge, and I was so excited. I'd been there years ago, and I wanted to take her, and, like, it's just, like, this local hangout up in the mountains, and they gave us a table, I mean, at the door, and it's, like, this screen door that slams, right? It's not even ding-ding, it's, like, boom, and the floor shakes, like, literally, it's, like, the walls shake. So every time, and people were going in and out because it's New Year's. It's the only way in and out. So it's like a madhouse. So it's like they're bumping into my chair. I'm freezing because it's up in Ojai. You know, the door's like, and I just can't. And I'm trying so hard to like be at peace and everything will be okay. And the owner comes up to me because like, I guess she, you know, she could see that I was sort of unhappy. And she goes, and I'd asked the hostess, like, is this the only table you have? And she's like, yeah, sorry. So the owner came up to me and she goes, are you okay? I can see by the look on your face you're not happy. And I was like, I hate this table. And she was so cool. So she's like, just a second. She's like, I don't want you to hate your table. Hold on. And like, I was like, we'll sit at the bar if like something at the bar. So they fully like moved things around and like moved us into the restaurant. And I said to Heidi, I'm like, the problem is I feel like life is really short. And I have an idea in my head of how I want things to be, how I want my New Year's to be, how I want my friend's birthday to be when we go out. And I know it's within reach if I keep fighting. But at what point are you just going against the grain and making things miserable and missing out on the experience that's there to be had? And it's a really fine line. And so I was kind of talking to my shrink about it. And I was like, I'm trying to know in life, like, where is the surrender? Where is the, when do you give up? If you're an actor and you haven't made it by 40, do you give up or do you keep going? Do you burn the bridge or do you continue to cross it? And I think that there are a couple of factors. So I sort of wanted to throw them out there. I think the first is, if continuing to fight is bringing you pleasure, then that's when you continue to cross the bridge. If it's making you more happy than sad, you keep going. So, for example, if you're 40, but you haven't, or 50 for that matter, because Jeffrey Rush didn't become famous, I don't think, until he was in his 50s. If you're still acting, but you love to act, even though you're not making a huge living at it, and or a living at all at it, But you love to act in that, like, local playhouse or what have you, then you keep going. But if it's depressing you and making you feel less than, and it's holding you back from making a living and you're no longer enjoying it, that's when you burn the bridge. Mm-hmm. When it's making you more unhappy than it's making you happy, I think that's when you burn the bridge. Same thing with a relationship. When there's way more bad than there is good, you burn the bridge. I also think when you've done everything you can do and you can resign yourself with having done everything that you can do, that's when you can be at peace with the situation. So if you do say to the waitress or the manager, I really, you know, I don't like my table because, take your shot at moving. And then, you know what? I've left. I've literally just left restaurants and been like, you know what? Thanks. This wasn't quite what we had in mind, and gone elsewhere. I will just leave because if I can't, if it's not what I had in mind, then I can't be satisfied with it. So, for example, Andy's birthday was this past weekend, and I had this whole night planned for her, and I had dinner. She loves burrata cheese, and so, like, I had made a reservation at this restaurant where they, like, specialize in cheese and Italian food, and then I had booked. She wanted to go bowling, and so I booked, like, these private bowling lanes. Or Autumn did for me, at the Roosevelt Hotel, and it's like super cool and very kind of fun and hip, and I had this whole idea of how I wanted to make Andy's birthday. And so we get to the restaurant, and we wait for 35 minutes for a table, which I was like, this is messed up, because we have reservations for these bowling lanes, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm annoyed, but I'm like, the hostess is like, I'm sorry, you know, they just aren't getting up, they've paid, but they're not getting up, and I was like, okay, so there's a main dining room where it's like, you know, it's also the ambiance, it's the energy. And by the time we get our table, it's now 9:40, and the reservation was for 9. And they take us into a side room with 4 tables where there's literally no one. And I just looked at them and I was like, are you serious? Really? And I was like, this is unacceptable. And all my friends are like, Jill, it's cool, it's cool. And I was like, it's not cool. I said to the manager, was like, you seem upset. And I was like, I am upset. I'm like, it's my friend's birthday. We waited 40 minutes. We have reservations to be elsewhere. And what you should have done is told my assistant, we don't have a table until 9:45 and it won't be in the main dining room. And I was like, why didn't you just say that? And everybody's like, it's fine, it's fine. And I was like, it's not fine. I'm not fine with this. This isn't what I booked. This isn't what I wanted for my friend. And I'm not fine. And then, of course, he's like, oh, we'll have a table in 15 minutes. And another 45 minutes goes by. Oops. And we were enjoying ourselves, and they did eventually move us. And it was like, whatever. But that isn't what I wanted for Andy, and I didn't want to let go of it without a fight. So I just took it as far as I could, where I said we'd like to be moved. And then we ordered, and it was us. And we did have fun, because it was like 7 of us, and we have fun wherever we go. But I think it's those two factors. If you're passionate about it and you love the process of trying to get across that bridge, keep fighting to get across it. If it's making you miserable and it's hurting you over and over and over again, that's a bridge that you burn. And if there's a situation where you still feel like there's more, I say fight for more. Life is short. I don't want to spend my New Year's freezing my butt off, getting my chair bumped into, not being able to have a conversation because the door's banging every 30 seconds. And instead, I fought for more, and we ended up like getting in this great conversation with the owners, who we loved, and we had a table that we loved, and I was warm, and I was happy. Fight for more. Because there's a difference between being at peace and settling. Does that make sense?
It does. No, it does.
Tell
it
me.
Totally does.
Because you're one of those people who'd be fine with the table anywhere, I can tell.
No,
is how Heidi is.
No, but what concerns me about where your head goes is, you said it twice. You said, I have an idea of how I want eating to unfold.
Yep.
Now, that you're kind of setting yourself up for
disappointment.
Yeah.
I know.
In a big way, because if it doesn't bend, you're kind of screwed all night.
I know.
If Jillian can't, it's like, I don't get me wrong.
No,
I
you're
get
totally
it.
Right. You're right, but that's where I'm trying to figure out when to be at peace with it. So what I've decided is, as long as I've tried everything I can to bend it, if it won't bend, then I'm at peace.
Okay.
Then I'll find the peace. Because you're right, I've been trying to find that place of peace. Like, When do you stop pushing? And it's kind of like what we talk about at the very end on Maximize Your Life when we say, like, look, when you've dotted every I and you've crossed every T and you've done everything you can possibly do, that's when you surrender it. You're at peace with the situation and it's come what may. Not give up, but come what may. But it's more than just restaurants or
yes,
what have you.
Right.
It's everything. When do you burn the bridge on a relationship? When do you continue to fight for it? I think when it makes you more unhappy than it makes you happy. When it hurts you more than it helps you. You know, when it breaks you down more than it builds you up. When there's no more passion in it. And when it's, yeah. You know, when the fight's not fun anymore. If you don't love the fight, then that's not good. Because there's certain aspects of the fight, like...
For sure. Oh, no, Jillian, I completely agree. There's certain parts of the fight that are good, and it's worth it. It's like, yeah. What you said, the result of it.
But when you fight and it becomes unpleasant and it starts to ruin things, that's when I think you find the peace.
Yeah.
I was going to add, I do think there's a certain satisfaction you could get out of doing nothing and making the best of the situation, and you sit back and you go, you know what? I wasn't dealt the best cards here, but I've made something better out of it without having to change completely what you're doing. It's satisfying when you're able to do that too.
I know, and you can do that. And Heidi can do that. My little brother can do that. Most of my friends can do that. That is not me. Mm-hmm. And I will always be the one that's like, that will fight for the better experience if it's there to be had. I can't. It's like, if it's there to be had. But, Jake, I agree with you. And that's been one of my greatest struggles, because Heidi can do that. She can just be at peace with whatever is. But then when we get moved, I'm like, aren't you happy we're moved now? Aren't you happy, like, that we're not cold or people aren't banging into our table? And I do get that there's a humor in it, that some of these bad experiences in life have a humor to them. And I get that. But I just think for each and every one of us, you've got to find your particular soft spot, that the part where, you know, where is it that you stop fighting and find peace? And it's different for all of us. Where is that line? And what bridges are you going to burn, and what bridges are you going to continue to fight to cross? I don't know that there's one answer.
I believe the motto for today is loosen the bone, Wilma.
My shrink was like, you're trying to push the river. I'm like, and I'll succeed. He's like, no, you won't. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're trying to push the river. Like, at some point, you're right, Jake. You got to stop pushing the river. At some point. My point is, what's the point? What is the point where you stop pushing the river? Okay.
All right. Maybe now we should stop pushing the river.
Okay. That I am really glad that we have an Audible spot again. You know why? Because I finally read a new book. I read a book called The Bone Season. It was a New York Times bestseller, but it's like this kind of, it's sort of Hunger Games-y, kind of Twilight-y, sort of, but it was...
Vampires with bows and arrows.
No vampires. Clairvoyance.
Oh.
Yeah, with bows and arrows. All right, guys, so you know what Audible is. They've got over 150,000 titles in every genre you could possibly hope for. And they're giving our listeners a free audiobook and a 30-day trial just by signing up at audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's Audible, audiblepodcast.com/exercise, www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. Go check it out. And I got to tell you, audiobooks are expensive, especially if you get them elsewhere. So take advantage.
Okay, we are back, and we are thrilled to have Dr. Daniel Siegel on the show. He's calling us from New York. He's on a tour, and so we're thrilled to have him here. So, Jillian, Dr. Daniel Siegel.
Dr. Siegel, thank you so much for joining us. You must be crazed right now on your book tour.
Oh, it's an exciting time, but thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
This book, okay, so for everybody listening, first of all, the book is called Brainstorm, The Power and Purpose of the Teenage Brain. And before we get into the book, I want to talk a little bit about you and who you are and all you've accomplished. So Dr. Siegel went to Harvard Medical School, and then you did your post-medical work at UCLA, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And you're a neuropsychiatrist. Can you tell everybody what this means? Because I think people get confused between psychologist, psychiatrist, PhD, MD. You're a medical doctor, but you also help people in a way that's psychological. I think people don't understand. Will you tell me exactly what that is?
Sure. Well, I'm trained as a physician, so that means I have an MD. I initially did my training in pediatrics and then moved over to psychiatry. And in psychiatry, you know, we train in all sorts of challenges to people's lives that can be called psychiatric conditions. But what we do really in psychiatry is work both in the neurological area. So we work with challenges to the brain as well more directly in what goes on with the mind, like with your emotions, such as depression or the way you think or the way you focus attention. And so I'm really a neuropsychiatrist, which basically means someone who specializes in functions of the brain and the mind and also relationships and how those three things go together and how we can understand how to bring more health into people's lives. So that's the neuropsychiatry part. And I work mostly these days, not only as a clinician, but as an educator, you know, writing books and teaching a lot to different kinds of folks, the general public, to families, to parents, to kids, and to professionals as well.
Now, can you tell me why you decided to write this book?
For a long, long time, I've been interested for 30 years in development. And when my own kids left their teenage years, and after having written a number of books on development, I really thought I wanted to try out looking at how to reach out directly to both adolescents and the adults who care for them, their parents, their teachers, their therapists, their coaches, and see if there was a way to write one book that could address both adolescents and adults. So that's what Brainstorm is.
Now, all right, so I want to dumb this down for a second and just get real. Everybody I know who has teenagers is pounding their head into the wall. And literally a friend of mine thought that her 15-year-old teenager was bipolar. And yeah. I was like, I don't know that you should be making that kind of diagnosis. I was like, I don't know that she's bipolar. From what I hear from everybody with a teenager, I'm kind of hearing the same things. And it's like, she goes, one second she's happy and dancing around the house, and the next second it's like a fit of rage, and the door is slamming, and it's F you, Mom. And it's the same thing with friends that have boys, girls. It's, you know, it's like these, they seem to go from like one mood to another mood within seconds, and there's outbursts of rage and impulsivity. And again, I don't have teenagers. I know how I was as a teenager, and it sounds fairly similar. And I think people are just at a complete loss on how to handle it. I mean, even my housekeeper, it's funny because she's been my housekeeper for 8 years, and, you know, I knew her when her kids were like 6 and 8, and now, you know, they're teenagers, and she just comes to work in tears every day.
Absolutely. Well, you know, your friend is not alone, and, you know, the way you were during your adolescence, you're not alone. I remember being that way myself. And I think the important thing for all of us is to realize that parents do feel like their adolescents are really, really hard to understand. And when you look at the changes in the brain, one of the first things you find, and this is really new discoveries, is that emotions are not being governed by raging hormones, which is what everyone believed for a long time. It's actually a myth that doesn't give us anything to do about it. Instead, when you look at the areas of the brain that are responsible for emotion, they're definitely more intense, and the way emotion affects the way we think and behave is more filled with rises in the emotions and falls in the emotions, so the swings are much bigger. And while it is true some psychiatric disturbances can arise in adolescence, and in fact for the major psychiatric disturbances like manic depressive illness, they generally do have their onset during adolescence. So if someone is really concerned about that, that's something to really keep an eye on. Okay. But in general, emotions are really widely spread across intensities. So sometimes you can feel something a lot and feel really up and dance around, and sometimes you can be depleted and feel depressed. And they go up and down like that as a matter of course. And when you understand that, the cool thing is you can actually learn as an adolescent how to ride the wave of your emotion. So instead of just avoiding the beach, you can learn to literally ride the surf and become a surfer of your own emotions. I like to think of this power as an emotional spark. And while it can be confusing for the adult or the adolescent, you can actually learn to do something with emotions. For example, if you learn how to center yourself and let an emotion just rise, after about 90 seconds, it kind of comes and goes. If you fight against an emotion, it'll grab onto you and become more intense. So you can learn to do something with your mind that helps emotions be more tolerable in your life. And that's different from just saying I have raging hormones and there's nothing I can do about it. So the brainstorm approach is about really empowering adolescents to learn about their brains, learn about their lives, so they can actually make the most of this important period of life.
Now, is this something that parents should read to be helping their teenagers, or is it something they should be giving to the teenagers, or both?
Well, it's really both. You know, what was struck me as both of my kids left their teenage years was there was no book written about the teenage brain in a positive way for adolescents.
That's so true.
That was shocking. And so I said, wow, what couldn't my kids have read now that they're through it? What would have helped them? And then the other thing, there's no book that lets an adolescent and an adult read the same thing, the same conversation with each of them, so that would increase the ability of them to communicate with each other in a helpful way. So those two things, seeing adolescents in a positive way and understanding the brain changes, plus having one conversation for both adults and adolescents, is what, you know, is exciting about all the focus of the brainstorm book and having this opportunity to actually improve the lives of both adults, the parents, as well as the adolescents.
I love that because it also gives you, like what you said, it puts you on the same page and it allows you to communicate because you can discuss the things in the book that you might be both experiencing and not understanding where the other person is coming from. It opens up that dialogue. And
it really
I think
does.
That's so hard for people to do, let alone, you know, in general, let alone with a teenager that they don't understand.
It's so true. And, you know, there was a time because it was really a hard book to write. People said, oh, you know, put the even pages for the adolescents and the odd pages for the adults and just write a separate conversation. I tried it for a few minutes and, you know, it just I really wanted there to be one book, one set of experiences because they're exercising in the book and one set of stories which they're in the book and one set of concepts. So it's all there for both the adult and the adolescent to actually read and talk about.
Okay, now explain this to me. You talk about something called brain remodeling. And can you explain, this happens during your teenage years only, or is this something that goes on throughout the course of our lives? What exactly is this? What does it mean?
Yeah. Well, first of all, this is a new discovery. So there's a whole new way we understand what adolescence is because of the last 12 years, you know, dozen years or so of research that isn't available for most people to know about unless you read the scientific literature. So as a scientist and a clinician, I wanted to summarize that science and make it available for everyone in accessible language and stories that they can understand. So this is all new. What remodeling is basically as a collection of basic cells called neurons.
Okay.
And the neurons connect to each other in something called a synapse. Those are the neural connections.
Right.
The connections are being set up when you're in the womb, in your mother's womb. And then when you're born, the connections continue to be formed in part by genes and in part by experience. And if you think about the first dozen years of life as basically childhood, childhood were like sponges where we absorb the knowledge of the adult world, both at home and in the classroom.
Right.
And we soak this in as well as experiences we have with our friends. And that changes the synaptic connections in the brain so that we're literally shaping the architecture of the brain by our experiences.
Is this the same thing as neuroplasticity, or am
yeah.
I? Okay.
That's exactly what neuroplasticity is. Neuroplasticity is literally how does experience.
Janice is so proud of me that I got that right. She's like, thumbs up, Jill. I'm
right
like, yeah, neuroplasticity. Look at me. Neuroplasticity.
You're on top of it.
Right. Yeah,
so
barely.
So neuroplasticity is how we learn. You know, your experiences change the structure of your brain, and that's really, really exciting stuff.
Okay.
So the first 12 years of life, childhood, is basically neuroplasticity is happening, and you're soaking in the world. That's great. Now, the second dozen years of life, because adolescence is not just the same as teenage years, you know, 13 to 19, it actually starts before it.
Oh, really?
And it ends in the mid-20s, which is a shocker, too. So what do we know about that? We know that instead of just continuing to only accumulate new connections, as we did in the first dozen years of life, this second dozen years of life is remodeling. And what that means is there are two things that go on. One is you start to prune away, like you would in a garden, carve away unnecessary synaptic connections and even neurons themselves. So as you go through adolescence, you're actually going to have less connections and less neurons than you did when you were, say, 10.
Is this for efficiency? Is this because the brain is going,
exactly.
Okay, got it, got it. Sorry, go on.
You got it. You're on top of this. You're a neuroscientist.
Right. No, I'm just wondering. I think I've pruned away maybe a few too many of those.
But this is cool because, you know, there is a benefit to pruning. You know, pruning makes a garden more navigable. You know, you can navigate through a garden better that way. You can be more efficient. And
okay.
So you carve away the neurons you don't need, and it's a use it or lose it kind of principle, you know, where the neurons you're using, if you're playing guitar a lot, you'll keep those neurons. And if you've never played guitar, you may lose some of those. And same thing with learning a foreign language or a sport. And you're becoming more efficient. And the second way you become more efficient, besides pruning, the second part of remodeling, is you lay down something called myelin, which is M-Y-E-L-I-N, myelin. Now, what myelin is this really important substance that when it connects the long lengths of neurons to each other, it allows the way these neurons to communicate, the way they communicate, it allows it to be 3,000 times both faster and more coordinated. So when you lay down myelin, you're taking the neurons and their connections that withstood the test of pruning, so they're still there. You've now made them 3,000 times more efficient. And so now you're this really what's called integrated brain because you've kept what you need and you've made what you need more coordinated and efficient in what it does. And that's pretty fantastic. Now, the cool thing is neuroplasticity can affect which connections get pruned away and which ones get myelinated. So in the book, there are these mindsight skills. And what I say is, look, since we know it's not raising hormones, and we now know adolescence, the myths that people believe, which are false and some ways harmful, you know, we know adolescence is not a period of immaturity. It's actually a period of remodeling. And we also know that you can do something about it. So these exercises I have help you optimize the remodeling of your brain. And there's an essence adolescence I talk about, an emotional spark, ES, it spells the word essence. ES is emotional spark, SE is social engagement, N is novelty, CE is creative exploration. This is kind of the core of what the remodeling does. And there are downsides and upsides to each of these four things. But what you can do is learn to make the most of this essence so that it optimizes the way the brain grows and remodels and basically becomes integrated as you go through this period of time.
You know, this is so interesting to me because I've read a lot about nutrition and your kids' brain development, and so I'm always giving the kids, like, fish oils, and I'm obsessed with their diet, but I never realized, you know, so I'm coming at it from a place of food, but I never thought about it as coming from a place of fitness. So you've literally created these brain exercises.
Exactly. And, you know, the food is important, so don't let that go. But mind fitness through experience, how you change the structure and function of the brain, is now something we know. And that's why, you know, I outlined that in the book so that everybody can just know what's the deal and choose or not choose to, you know, take part in creating fitness of their mind.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. You talk a little bit about how this can benefit adults as well, and that's sort of my question. Like, let's say my listener doesn't have a teenager, but I find all this stuff about your brain and your connections and pruning and so on fascinating. Is it too late for me after that second decade to do this kind of work?
You know, it's really never too late. This is this fantastic thing about neuroplasticity. And in other books, I talk directly, you know, about how adults can harness the power of neuroplasticity. A book called Mindsight specifically talks about that. The cool thing about essence, this emotional spark and social engagement and novelty and creative exploration, is that if you had to look at the research on how to keep your brain young, vital, and growing well throughout adulthood, and we now have those studies of, as you pointed out, neuroplasticity, and you had to pick the top four known scientifically proved factors that keep your brain young and growing well as an adult, they would be: keep passion in your life with an emotional spark, keep relationships in your life where you're supported by a social network with social engagement, keep yourself trying new things with novelty, and keep your mind challenged with creative exploration. Now, what blew my mind away was that I was just writing a book for adolescents and their parents and teachers and stuff to understand the adolescent period. And then what became clear was that the remodeling of the adolescent brain brings out this essence. And then I went, oh my God, this is actually what you gotta not lose. And then I thought of all my friends and people I know professionally too, who lost their essence and realized that you can get it back. And if you've lost it, of course, and you have a teenager, you might feel a little left out and feel just inside, as one teenager said, maybe a little jealous.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh my God, this is going to be tough for any adult to take. And then I realized, actually, you can inspire someone to rewire their brain. You can actually get them to capture this essence again, and it's never too late to do that.
See, that was going to be my question, because there is some envy. Like, when I look at my kids and I think, God, you know, I'm starting them so young and they have the ability to learn this. Because I've always wanted to play piano, and I always fight with my partner because she plays, and she's like, I can teach you. I'm like, you can't teach me. I'm 39. I'm never going to be able to learn piano. You know, but the three-year-old, she can be, you know, a genius, a musical genius. Because I did have that feeling of like, at 39, how much can I absorb? How much can I actually learn? How much can I change? And it's funny because you're suggesting that not only should you be young at heart, you should literally be young in your mind and still continue to do all of those things and explore and challenge, and that it's never too late, which is a really encouraging message.
Totally. And it's totally based on science. And, you know, I've been having so much energy come from people who've been reading the book and hearing thoughts about the book, because it's just what you're saying. You know, while it is true, you know, remodeling happens, it does make it tougher to learn piano at 39 than at 3
right.
In many ways. But so, you know, that's something we should know as we think about how to structure schools for kids too. But in general, you know, you can capture this essence and recapture it if you've lost it. And the great thing is, when people take this on, and there's other research to support this too, you actually begin to live the age you feel. And so when you capture this essence and start feeling young, studies suggest you actually reclaim some of the old capacities that you may have been whittling away. And probably in the brain, these studies haven't been done, but probably in the brain, you're actually allowing new connections to be made with novelty and creative exploration. And all the studies of the brain show that if you keep passion in your life, really care about what's going on, have meaning in your life, and have supportive relationships, you're going to be optimizing your health in so many different ways.
How fascinating. I always talk about, people ask me, like, oh, what's the first thing I should do for my career? And I talk about, don't go into it unless you're passionate about it. But I never thought about why I was actually saying that. Or how come that makes me good at what I do or motivates me to do what I do? And that is the reason.
Yeah, you're an intuitive neuroplastician.
Yeah, look at me. Look at me, Janice. And you thought I only did lunges.
That's right. That's
right. Right? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dr. Siegel,
that's
amazing stuff.
Well, it is fun. It's you know, what's so great about it is it's empowering for everybody, adult and adolescent alike, and it's empowering actually for our world. Because think about if you could capture that kind of passion so people could actually feel it, and then when they feel it, support it in others, you know? That's a possibility we have of actually changing the cultural conversation around the adolescent period. Because I think what happens is that people do have a challenging time as adolescents. They think it's just a time to get through. When they finally get through it in their mid-20s, they go, whew, I'm glad that's over. And they forget that the essence is something to hold on to, or they never knew that. And so they just figure, okay, I shouldn't be like that. And in fact, the word adolescent, for some people, has become an insult. You say, oh, that was so adolescent.
That's true. That's right. That's right. It has a negative connotation now. That's in many cases.
So we want to change the cultural conversation around adolescence. We want to empower individuals and families for sure, both kids and adolescents and adults, you know, all those groups. But we also want to change the cultural conversation to do that, you know, in the media like you're doing, to do it in, you know, our schools, to do it in our families. This could be a real opportunity to turn things around for everybody in a positive direction.
And basically what this is doing is, A, establishing a closer bond within the home because the kids understand what's going on with them. The parents understand what's going on with the kids. It opens up a dialogue. But it's also, it seems as though you're establishing or laying the foundation for better success as an adult in this time period.
Completely. That's completely what you're doing. And the great news is when you get rid of those myths, you can offer adolescents a structure on how to set up the rest of their lives. Not that they're planning and worrying about the future, but just set up the kinds of approaches that actually are going to support a healthy adolescence and also adulthood.
Dr. Siegel, if people want to reach you, now I forgot to mention these two things. You're a distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatric Association and the executive director of the Mindsight Institute. So you're probably busy, but if somebody wants, and you're on a book tour, but if somebody wanted to reach you, do you have a website and where can we get the book?
Sure. Well, the book you can get anywhere. So wherever you like to get books, independent bookstores or Barnes & Noble or
Amazon.
Anywhere. All those great places are wonderful outlets that have the book available. And, you know, you can reach me through the website, which is DRDAN, so Dr. Dan Siegel, SIEGEL.com. And just go to the website. We have a ton of stuff for people to watch or listen to or get involved in. And we have community meetings and just ways of really getting connected to this information.
Thank you so much. Again, the book is called Brainstorm, The Power and Purpose of the Teenage Brain. I really appreciate your time. This has been literally mind-blowing.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Some new myelination occurring in certain areas of my brain. Thank you so much, Doc.
My pleasure. Great to chat.
Bye-bye. Change in Janice.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, these youngsters today don't pay for cable at all. Did you know that?
I'm learning that.
I know. I've been talking about it a lot lately.
Yes, you have.
Well, I thought it would be a good entrance into our spot with our new advertiser.
Cool.
And I really want to suck up here in the event that maybe one day I will get a show on Hulu. So
Hulu.
I really don't want to mess this up. So it's Hulu.com. All right. Now, here's the new thing. It's called Hulu Plus, which is so much more than just Hulu, because you get access to a collection of ad-free movies and kids' content. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit TV shows and movies in the living room, on the go, with your smartphone, with your tablet, anywhere, anytime. This is the wave of the future. This is how everybody is consuming their content, as we know. And they've got all your favorites. SNL, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Shark Tank, Scandal, you name it. And they're starting to create their own shows. They've got one called The Wrong Mans, or Behind the Mask, which is a new docuseries that takes you inside the world of sports mascots.
That's fantastic. Fantastic.
I know. It's $7.99 a month. To tell you how much my cable bill is, by the way, it's like upwards of $100. $7.99 a month, and wow, you get all of it on Hulu Plus with no commercials. So you can catch up on current shows, binge on old favorites, catch a great movie, stream as many TV shows and movies as you want, wherever you want, whenever you want. And right now, for our listeners, you can try Hulu Plus for free for 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com/Jillian. That's a special offer for our listeners only. So I want you to make sure you use HuluPlus.com/Jillian so you get the extended free trial. And, of course, they know we send you because then I look good in their eyes. And as I said, I might want to show there one day. That's HuluPlus.com/Jillian right now for your extended 2-week free trial. Did you know that the most common New Year's resolutions are getting your life organized and starting a business?
I can see that.
Both you can do quickly at LegalZoom.com. All right, now that I've said that, I got to be honest. These guys are really awesome. They can help you with just about anything. They really can. They've gotten an A+ from the Better Business Bureau, which is a really big deal because every single time I feel like a place is not up to snuff and I don't get the services, I'm like, I am going to say something to the Better Business Bureau. So to get an A+ means that you're doing a heck of a job.
Yeah.
They're just incredible, and a few of my friends have used their services and been so pleased. So I got to read you the mandatory disclaimer and offer for the legalese. Here we go. Ready? LegalZoom's step-by-step process was created by a team of experts in law and technology. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but they can connect you with a third-party attorney, and they provide you with self-help services. For special savings, enter Jillian, my name, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, in caps, in the referral box at checkout. Now here's me. Do not let another month go by before you take care of these things for your family and your business. Seriously, from wills to business formation, trademark applications, powers of attorney, and even bankruptcy, these guys can help you with all of it. They really are just fantastic. It's an incredible service. They make things that seem very overwhelming and very scary, very easy and very simple and very affordable. And then all you got to do is go to LegalZoom.com.
All right, we are back, and Tammy would like to talk to you.
Uh-oh, my couldn't get my mic. Hey, Tammy, what's going on?
Oh, hi. Oh, my God. Hi. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, I am super excited. The other day I was getting out of my car, and I got to see your face on my billboard right where you're going to be in Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Aw, that's awesome.
I know, because nobody ever comes to our town because it is so small, but it is a great town. And I'm taking my daughter, so we are so excited.
Oh, you're taking your daughter? Which tickets did you get?
I'm actually getting them next Friday, but we're getting, I think it's like level 3 tickets that we're getting.
Oh, well, we'll get your information and I'll make sure that you get into the VIP meet and greet.
Oh my God, you're so awesome. You really don't have to do that, but oh my God.
No, it would be my pleasure. No problem.
My daughter is super excited too. I love it. She's 13. And I told her the bagel story about your daughter.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because my daughter asked me for Peaceable from Domino's.
Yeah.
And she has to do something really good to earn that.
Yeah, that's honestly, we've started the star chart. And it's like for 14 stars, she can have a bagel or like ice cream. And I'm always like, don't reward your kids with food. And it's just, I'm like, all right, for crying out loud. So I know, yeah. What do you want for Christmas? Bagel. What are you gonna do, dude? What are you gonna do?
Yeah, I have to get that show on so my daughter can listen to it so she knows that. But so anyway, the reason why I wrote is I lost 61 pounds in about 13 months. That's almost 300 pounds. And I'm down to, I weighed myself today because I figured I'd get the chance to talk to you. And I'm down to 220. And, you know, I still want to get down to where I was in high school. And, you know, I'm working really hard through it throughout this whole, like, you know, transition. Okay. And, you know, I've been killing myself doing Pilates and, you know, and I run a lot. And I started doing Ripton 30, and I'm on week two, and my butt hurts so bad today.
Yeah, that is not that, but it with that said, it will help. You just got to stick with it. Just stick with it. It's only 30 minutes.
So instead of focusing on trying to lose as much weight as I can, I've been trying to focus on how many inches that I can lose around my waist and throughout my body. And I see a real big difference in my arms, and my butt is really getting nice and toned. And my daughter's laughing at me as I say this, but my belly is, and I still have a lot, you know, to get rid of. And everyone is telling me, no, you need to do more cardio. You just need to do cardio and not worry about the sit-ups. And because it's not that your sit-ups aren't going to help you. And I'm thinking, like, well, this just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, wait, there's some truth in what you said and some falsehood. So, okay, the first thing is, I don't want you thinking about inches. I want you thinking about pounds. So how tall are you?
I am about 5'7".
5'7", you could be 160. I could see.
Yeah, I was. And even at 180, I was still, you know, voluptuous, but I still looked better than what I did. And I look better now than when I was almost 300 pounds.
Listen, I don't want you, it's not that I want you to think about, like, look better this or that. I'm telling you right now, like, I think somewhere between, you know, I'd like to see you, 160 would be ideal. You're right, somewhere from 160 to 180, and going to the doctor and him telling you all the numbers are fantastic, cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, etc., that's happy. But I don't want you to think about inches until you are talking about changing body composition, not dropping actual weight. So the reality is, while trainers are like, oh, you go, the scale didn't move, and they go, but you look thinner, you've gained muscle. No, that means I have no idea why the scale's not dropping. So let me try to make up a reason right now as to why you shouldn't fire my ass. So, okay. And always, you know, and you've already lost 60 something pounds. So it's not, you know, you've got a downward trend going. Things are going good. If stuff stalls, it's simply stalling because you've fallen off the bandwagon diet-wise somewhere. And the reality is that you can train your butt off, literally. But if you're not watching your food at the same time, you're not going to move the needle. Like, I've done both in my life and tried to get around both. I swear to God, like, you know, sometimes when I work out with the ass man, a.k.a. Dan, I'm like, I worked out so hard today, I should be able to eat this. And then it's like, I'm like, Jillian, what are you doing? Like, the whole point of this is to, you know, you're negating the point. Like, I'm stronger, but my body's not looking different because I had a glass of wine and spaghetti for dinner or something. So the reality is, you have to do both. Then I've also been like, I'm going to be meticulous on my diet, and I'm not going to, you know, because I don't have the time to work out. Well, all right, you know, you don't gain weight, you maintain your weight, but you're not going to actively get leaner. You have to do both things to get the pounds to come off. So I don't want you thinking about inches. I want you thinking about the scale until that scale gets down to 180. Okay. Then you can reassess. Now, on top of that conversation, there are truths and falsehoods to your statement. You cannot spot reduce fat. So a crunch is a less than effective way of getting the abs that you want, because while it might tone your core, there are far better ways to do that are going to burn far more calories. Now, the other thing that's wrong is that cardio is not the most efficient way to burn fat and get in shape. It's actually extremely inefficient when you think about something like Ripton 30, which is when you train more intensely, when you utilize resistance training, which can be done with body weight or free weights or even on machines. Although if you do use machines, I need you to also incorporate body weight training as well for functionality, because a machine is fine if you're going to isolate a muscle, but you also need to train the body. So it's like, if you're going to do leg extensions, that's totally fine as a superset with a lunge or a squat and a step up and so on. So
okay.
The best way to lose weight is going to be intense training that has high intensity intervals and resistance training that circuits so that the workout doesn't stop while you're working out. And Ripton 30 is a perfect example of that. So no, getting on an elliptical, your body's going to adapt. It doesn't require a tremendous amount of energy in contrast to the type of workout that I'm telling you to do. So a crunch is also going to be inefficient because it's not going to burn a ton of calories and you can't spot reduce. It's less about an exercise and more about the exercise techniques employed. So while Ripton 30 may have a crunch in there, it's after you've just done 2 minutes of high intensity interval training and I want you to get an active recovery on your heart rate. So I'm like, all right, let's focus on core right now while the heart rate comes back down from 95% to 80%. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does completely. And I think that was one of the, and I'm only on week two and I can tell a difference and, you know, just because I feel different, but I think that was a lot of my problems that I was just, you know, doing my Couch to 5K app, which is fabulous and it works and I love it. But, you know, when I was lifting as well, but I just don't think I had gotten in the right groove.
And the diet, how's your diet?
I can tell you I am completely faithful to my diet. I have your app on my phone.
How many calories are you eating?
It allowed me to have 1,500, and I'm having a hard time reaching 1,500 because I find myself not being hungry.
Okay.
So I'm getting like 13. So like 13.
That's fine.
Yeah.
1,200, yeah. 1,200 is as low as I would like you to go, and making sure that you can always have unlimited vegetables, as long as, of course, sautéed and tons of oil and so on.
No, I don't do that at all.
Butter?
I don't eat butter at all. I can show you at the show. I have last year I went to my doctor and she's like, girl, you're going to die if you don't change your life.
Yeah.
And I did. And I went back in 30 days and I had dropped 27 pounds in,
wow.
I'm sorry, in 3 months. In 3 months, I dropped 37 pounds.
Jeez.
And everything, all the medicine that she wanted to put me on,
you know,
I don't have to take it.
Of course not.
Right. And actually my, it's so funny because my year exam is that Friday before you come into town. So
aww.
I will have more blood work for that. So I am super excited for that. And I eat bell peppers like apples. So
okay.
Like I just sit at my desk like crunching on them all day and stuff like that. But
okay.
Yeah, my diet's fun. I actually lost 8 pounds this month.
That's excellent.
I wasn't paying attention and I was so stressed out about just like worrying about my pants fitting and everything that I just kind of forgot to. So I weighed myself today just to figure out and I logged it today. So, and it was 8 pounds down. So, and I love your app. I do.
Use the scale, sweetie. The scale is a compass. Use it once a week, same scale, same day, same time of day. And all it does is it tells you you're on track, you're off track. You're on track, you're off track. That's all it does. It's simply a compass. Use the scale. And last but not least, like, first of all, you've done so well. Really celebrate that because what a great accomplishment. And second of all, you, at this point, you've got this car moving in the right direction. You know, a body in motion tends to stay in motion. You've got forward momentum. I guarantee you, if you went to the doctor, right, you said you don't need any of these medications. So now, you know, while you're trying to lose the last 40 pounds or what have you, try to relax. Like, there's no reason to be stressed. You're not stuck. Everything is moving in the right direction. You're not unhealthy. You're not going to die tomorrow. You've got time. Try to enjoy the journey a little bit now. Take the unhappiness out of it.
Okay. I will.
Except for when you're in the middle of that that workout, you can be unhappy. But when the 30 minutes is over, you're going to feel great. I promise.
I cuss sometimes. You
I
know.
Totally understand, sweetie. Totally. It was so funny. I keep hearing things about like, oh, this girl's the next Jillian Michaels or that girl's the next Jillian Michaels. And I was like, here's why none of those bitches are ever going to be the next Jillian Michaels, because those girls are athletes and Jillian Michaels hates to work out. That's why Jillian Michaels will always be Jillian Michaels, because I actually hate working out and I do it because... And it's like, I want to live longer. I want to be around for my kids. I want to be around for... But yeah, there's never a moment where I go, God, this is easy, or God, I love this, or God, this feels good. Very rarely. I'm always like, ugh, this is hard, or ugh, I don't want to go. But the result is so worth it to me that I do it anyway. And I think that's...
I agree, yes.
That's why I've become, oh, Jillian Michaels, what's made you so successful? Because I'm just like everybody else. in that way. And that's where I'm here to say, like, even on the days where it's tough, it's totally worth it. Just keep your eye on the prize. You're doing amazing. And I want you to celebrate instead of being like, oh, my God, I'm stressed about the scale. Oh, my God, I don't know if it's going down fast enough. Celebrate all that you've accomplished because that's what's going to get you through it, sweetie.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
All right, honey. I can't wait to meet you. I'll have Janice get your information, and my assistant, Autumn, will reach out and make sure that we get a meet and greet.
Oh, that is so awesome. And listen, happy birthday, because we have the same birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Okay, I'll see you soon.
Bye, Tammy.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Hey, so you're on a billboard in Pennsylvania.
I guess so.
That's pretty rocking. That's pretty good. You've arrived when you're either on the side of a bus or you're on a billboard.
You've arrived when you're on a billboard in Times Square. That's when you've arrived.
Honey,
have you ever not seen, like, got accidentis? Call 1-800 crappy lawyer. Yeah, exactly. What are you talking about right now?
We gotta go. We gotta say
bye. Oh, good. Thanks for all that feedback.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.